CFRC from Kingston, Ontario. Your volunteer program, Campus and Community Radio at 101.9 FM and on the web at cfrc.ca.
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari, the show is past tense, and the last song that played was Suture from the band Golden Star off of their self-titled EP, and before that, a recent demo from the band Golden Star that was apparently influenced by the band Picastro, which is one that I really love. They released a couple of terrific albums. Well, terrific to me. They have other albums as well. But specifically, Red Your Blues and Metal Cares. So they're more of a, I think, mid-90s, early 2000s Canadian post-rock slowcore band. And Golden Star is a very recent one. So that, in part, is why I was very excited to sit down with Marcus Stahl of the band Golden Star. We did an interview, I guess, probably about a month ago now, and part one of that interview aired on this show last week, and hopefully the full version of that should be up on the CJLO website sometime this week, and you're going to hear part two of it right now, this hour, anyway. So it was a nice opportunity to sit down and hear about, a whole lot of things. It ended up running like an hour, but, you know, various influences on the music and, you know, the process that went into it, which was actually a very long time leading up to the EP, which is interesting to hear just because it kind of came out of nowhere for me. And it was even more dramatic because it was a really terrific release. I was really impressed when I heard the Golden Star self-titled EP back in January. So, yeah. Pretty excited now to have seen Golden Star play a couple of times. They're a local Montreal band, and to know that they've got more music in the works. So this song is called VS. It's by the band Golden Star off their EP, and after it plays, you will hear Marcus actually say some stuff about how it was written and the process behind that.
Kind of funny, like the second song on the EP is called VS, which is actually short for Very Silly, because I was like in the studio in my rehearsal space I was working on some song that I thought was really good, so I was like, and it was like dark and serious, and I was really trying to make some things work. It just wasn't working. I don't even remember what song it was. I'm not sure if I ever finished it, but I was very frustrated with it. after like 2.5 hours of just kind of like trying stuff and it not exactly working. And then I was like, well, this whole session's been a bit of a bust. I might as well just like do something like different and just not so oriented towards creating a specific thing. And anyway, I kind of was just like, okay, I'm gonna like just mess around and record something and see if I can like get something down quickly. And I kind of came up with all those elements really, really quickly in like half an hour or something, just like one after the other, like only one or two takes for each thing. And I thought it was interesting, and it kind of reminded me of like Built to Spill a bit or something like that. But it's definitely tonally a bit different from the rest of the stuff on the EP. And like initially I was just like, I kind of just chalked it up to like this is kind of a fun little thing, it's kind of stupid. So I named the file very silly, and then I showed Meg, who writes a lot of the lyrics and is, you know, collaborator on the project, my girlfriend Meg. And I was driving with her and I put on the demo and I was like, oh, this is like some stupid little thing that I recorded. And she was like, oh no, this is like really awesome. And I guess that perspective was helpful, and eventually we like finished the song and it ended up on the EP. So sometimes it's useful to just go into it without much of a structure or anything.
Yeah, I think this goes back to what you were saying before too about not wanting to have like too narrow of a landscape. And like if you get caught in that type of a constraint where it's like, I feel like the main thing that ends up being important for like artistic creation, I guess, is like poignance, where it's not so much about like trying to, maybe not at the start necessarily trying to attack like a particular feeling, but rather just like approaching whatever ends up being poignant in the moment. Or
yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, there's definitely sort of ideals that I try to go by in my music that are not exact, like that are sort of cross different emotional areas or whatever. Like I try to really have a sense of this is something I kind of noticed when I was a teenager. I was like, the best music feels really inevitable.
Okay.
So I really try to write music where it's like, wow, it sounded like that had to happen. Like this wasn't a choice necessarily. Mm-hmm. And I even kind of approach songwriting like that a lot of the time, where I come up, well, a lot of the time the first element is like a guitar riff or a certain chord voicing or something, and usually I'm just sitting around and sometimes even like watching something and just messing around, and I come up with this first element, and then I really just try to not put my ego or expectations onto like, I need to write this kind of song or that kind of song, and just respond to what is there. Mm-hmm. So like, you've got this first element, like how can I incorporate that into like a song structure? Like where does it go after that? And really just answer what the music wants to be there almost. It's I'm not actually mystical about the process like that, but it's useful to think about it like that, because I think that's kind of the most, like at the heart of it, that's the most effective way of going about it.
Mm-hmm. I think someone I spoke to last night, I guess you could call the stuff he does like curatorial, or like dealing with, okay, I shouldn't even say because I don't know well enough, but like he looks at a lot of art, and like I think for like residencies for new artists and that sort of thing, and one of the things he described in seeing like how people develop as artists, and he mostly deals with like visual art, I think, was moving from a framing that is being an artist that focuses on a particular subject to one that eventually develops into an artist with a unique perspective, where it's not so much focused on trying to, you know, describe, let's say, one thing, but rather being able to approach many things with, like, some sort of identity.
Sure.
But, yeah, I feel like that's part of this whole process of trying to do things that are inevitable, in a sense, or approach things in, like, a almost naturalistic way. Now I'm curious about how the music has changed over time, because how long has all of the material, say, made it onto the EP? How long has it been in the works, and like, how's that sort of process changed? Because it's you, but there are also the other band members in there.
Yeah. I can talk about that for sure. So, basically, I started writing guitar music when I was in high school. My dad bought me a guitar from a pawn shop, and I sort of started learning to play, like, Hey Jude and stuff like that. Yeah. And so I was writing some rudimentary songs that I still remember some of them. They're not that great, but you have to write a lot of bad songs before you write good songs. And so I had this sort of, like, I was writing kind of singer-songwriter-y guitar stuff. I guess I was really influenced by the Velvet Underground at that point. What I was writing was not really sounding like that, because, you know, there's this gap of, like, what you can actually do and what you want to do. So that was when I was a teenager, and then I came to Montreal, and I was, like, very swept up in this, like, underground electronic music, like house and techno and jungle, IDM, ambient world. Because that's kind of where, you know, people are doing really interesting stuff, really beautiful, but also brutal and, like, physically, like, just, there was so much actual stuff happening, and you go to these raves or events and lose your mind a little bit.
Yeah.
So I was kind of doing that for quite a while, and working on my computer a lot, and working with synths, and I guess I got, well, that the scene sort of became less interesting to me, and maybe I got a bit burnt out of it, and as I talked about, like, venues closed, and I guess I was a bit tired of it all. And then around 2020 or so would be, like, the earliest, like, Torn a Twain and Asleep. I think pretty much the main structures of those songs were written 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I was just, at that point, me and Chris Stewart was playing drums, and Nick on bass, Nick Castonguay, and Zach MacArthur on guitar. And we were just kind of like, I guess it wasn't really that serious, like, we were kind of just going into the space and jamming together. We were kind of playing a lot of, like, sort of dark wavy adjacent sort of stuff, like these da na 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 na, like that kind of thing. Because I guess we were all, I mean, Chris has his band Body Wash, but Nick and Zach were also both, like, in the more, like, electronic music world, so this was a bit of just something different. And then during COVID, it was just, like, yeah, a lot of time to sit at home with the guitar, and kept writing songs, and it was a bit of, like, the whole thing was happening really, like, in fits and starts. Like, we'd get together and rehearse and, like, have, like, one show or something, and then not rehearse for, like, 9 months. And a lot of the time I was a pretty, like, depressed and unmotivated for a lot of the time, and so it was hard to kind of get the whole thing going, but I knew that what I had written, like, it felt kind of special, and, like, I should follow through with it. And then I met Meg 2.5 years ago, and we started dating, and I was showing her that music, and she was really into it, which was nice to hear someone was into it. And she actually really helped me kind of finish some of those songs. I guess writing lyrics was a hard part for me, like so much more vulnerable in a certain sense compared to like writing, like coming up with a melody on the guitar or riff or something. But even like Asleep, like the end of that song, she came up with the melody and the lyrics for that last chorus. And then in other songs, it was, you know, sometimes more me with the lyrics, or more collaborative, and just having someone to like bounce those ideas off of. And also, I guess it's nice when, I guess, I respect her taste more than anyone's probably, so it's really, really, really useful to be able to write something and come home and be like, hey, like, what do you think of this? And get that perspective and respect that perspective, and then you can, of course, you do have to have your own agency as well when it comes to it, and not define your work by what someone else thinks. But yeah, so I guess many of these songs were sort of bubbling up over the past 5 years. There were other songs that were written and recorded and never released, or that I wasn't fully happy with. We had like a session recording live off the floor like 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, that I was kind of really inspired by like how Slint recorded and stuff, and I was like, okay, we're gonna do it like Slint and just do it live off the floor. But it didn't really work out because we weren't quite tight enough at the time. Like now I think we're actually really tight, but
I'd agree,
back then it didn't really work out. So there were all these kind of like attempts that didn't quite work out. And then I guess last summer, I'm 30 years old and I was 29 then, and I was like, I kind of need to like get something going. Like, what am I doing with my life so much? And I kind of gave myself an ultimatum of like, I need to like really finish this project and actually get it going, because I don't know, like, yeah, it was just files on a computer that I would show my friends, and people would be like, oh wow, this is amazing or whatever. But also, it's your friends, so I mean, I trust my friends, but they're also still your friends. And so yeah, like summer 2024, I got really serious about finishing everything up, and I got in touch with my friend Francis Latrey, who he like produces music and DJs under the name Priori, and he was down to mix the record. So, and I'd worked with him before on this like techno project in like 2019. He mixed this Perishing Thirst album for me, and we had a really good experience. Like, I just like go to his studio and sit with him while he does the whole thing. And I guess honestly, having the deadline of like, this is when it's gonna be mixed, it was like, okay, we need to like record everything. We have to have everything like fully done. All the lyrics have to be figured out. Because before, and I still do this to a certain extent, I'll write a song and I have the melody and stuff, but I'll just kind of like fake the words. Even like live, like at the last show, like there's one of the new songs, like I didn't have words yet. So I kind of like just was like singing sounds that sound like words softly. So it was like, okay, we need to actually like get this all down. And that was really helpful, and it was also like really great to hear it coming together and sounding more professional with getting it mixed and stuff. And then after it came out, the response was like really nice, I guess more than I anticipated. Like, people were really into it, which is great, and definitely put some wind under my sails to put some more stuff out.
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari. The show is Past Tense, and the last song that played was Lie for a Lie from the band Built to Spill off of their album Ultimate Alternative Waivers. Before that was part of an interview that I did with Marcus Stahl of the local slowcore band Golden Star. And lucky for me, Marcus mentioned a whole bunch of music that influenced Golden Star, and I get to play it now. And I happen to love Built to Spill, and I also happen to love a lot of the bands that he mentioned, so lucky for me. Anyway, I'll play the remainder of that interview within the next half hour, and that'll complete that. If you want to hear the full thing, you can check it out on the CJLO website. It should be up there soon, if not by the time that this airs. And before I cut into that, will be one more song. So this is going to be Crumbs Like Saucers from the band Helvetia off of their album Dramomania.
Hey Kingston families, looking for an unforgettable summer adventure for your kids? Look no further than Assas Camps right on Queen's University campus. Assas Camps offers English and French programming for children ages 4 to 12. Campers participate in crafts, games, experiments, field trips, and activities with special weekly guests. Assas staff ensures a safe, packed summer with memories that'll last a lifetime. Spots are filling up fast, so register now at assascamps.ca.
Since its inception in 2022, CFRC Power Plays has become the number one destination for all things Queens football.
And that is a touchdown for the Gales!
With over 50 million lifetime views, CFRC Power Plays is the defining voice in Queens football coverage.
Looking for Nico Cuomo! Cuomo! My goodness! Nico Cuomo with a touchdown!
Follow us today on Instagram at CFRC Power Plays, your number one spot for rock solid football action.
The Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline is now live to help victims and survivors get vital social and emergency services. If you need help or want to help stop human trafficking, call 1-833-900-1010.
Yeah, so Meg was definitely a big part of finishing it. Chris played drums on almost all the songs, and I've been doing music with him for a long time, and I really respect his opinion. So that, like, Chris recorded the drums on four of the tracks, and also this guitar part on the, like, counting sections of Seven Score. Like, there's two guitar parts, there's just, like, chords, and then there's this, like, sort of spidery, higher sort of part, and he came up with that, which was really, really good for the song. But for the most part, everything else instrumental was me. And Zach and Nick have been involved in the, like, the live setup, but also both of them, I respect their taste a lot, and it's useful to have their feedback and everything. And they're going to be, I'm definitely going to have them a bit more involved in terms of, like, recording some of their stuff for the next project, because, I mean, it's been helpful now, like, writing new songs and bringing it to the band and sometimes playing it live even before recording, because then they can sort of give their spin on things. Sometimes I write stuff and I'm like, okay, like, this is what I want. Sometimes I write something and I really want it to be played exactly like that. Sometimes I write something and I'm like, you know, you can change it up a little bit. And sometimes I don't write a part and I'm like, okay, but you can try to figure it out. So I'm very grateful to everyone who's collaborated on the project. And then there's also my friend Jacob Sexsmith, who played drums on Seven Score, the first song of the EP. And he's also a great drummer, and I'm going to be working with him as well going forward. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, like, people are like, oh, like, is it, like, your project, or is it, like, a solo project, or, like, it's definitely, like, my project, but it's also certainly a collaborative project, and I couldn't have done it without collaborating. So yeah
I think with these sorts of things, it really matters to have, like, critical voices to help refine things as they go along. And I think it's a pattern that I've seen with various bands. Like, they start out as, like, a single person making music, and then it's, even if it is still, like, their project in a way, like, and I used air quotes here for everyone who can't actually see me doing that, like, it's like this slow inclusion of people into, like, the process of making it's interesting to see how people's music changes in light of that. And I think, I mean, obviously you talked about the reception of the EP, it was very good, and I think that's something that was almost surprising to me, because I've seen bands that kind of, when they first show up on my radar, it is as, like, a new band in a way. And you can see sometimes, especially in a live performance, like the rough edges of something transitioning from one person making music and then getting other people to play it. And yeah, you guys felt very refined when I saw you play, and also, like, the dynamics between, like, you and Meg's vocals, like, they're really, really restrained, and they come out really, really well. Like, they add a lot of dynamism to the
music. I think, like, she has an incredible voice for the music, and especially, and, like, I remember showing, like, a friend of mine some of these songs, like, 3-4 years ago, and he was like, oh, they're really good, but, like, they're just, like, missing something. And I also felt like they were missing something, so I guess I was kind of, like, sitting on some of them, just, like, because I didn't feel like they were complete. And then I feel like Meg's vocals really did add, like, a really, I think also just, like, having that sort of, like, kind of somewhat raw sounding but, like, intimate female vocal part can really add a huge dimension to, and sort of life, like, lived in and human dimension to something that is sometimes kind of more abstract sounding. So that juxtaposition is pretty good. Yeah, we're definitely, I was just writing a new song yesterday and coming up with a vocal part with Meg, and Sounding good.
Nice. And do you think the process now is more straightforward? Because you talked about more or less this 5-year span of like things that you just said, like they were good but weren't complete. And it seems now that you have maybe a better idea of like when something is finalized, or at least like the framework for that. Do you think it's more straightforward going?
Yeah, for sure. Which I think is a good and a bad thing. Mostly good. Like, I think I've definitely honed my craft, and everyone else is also honing their craft. And I mean, like you said, in terms of the band, like, everyone who plays in the band are very tuned in. Like, they understand, like, what we're going for, and I guess, like, have a keen appreciation of beauty.
Okay.
That really helps. But anyway, so just to get back to your question, it is more straightforward for sure, because like with experience writing more and more songs, you get like I kind of have a bit more of a defined process a little bit. But then you also run into the trap of, oh, am I like writing too many songs that sound a bit too similar, or yeah, something like
fits formulaic.
Yeah, you're trying to navigate using formulas, but then also breaking the formulas, and so it's a bit interesting like that. Like, I had my guitar tuned to this really nice tuning that Pavement used on Zurich Is Stained, as well as In the Mouth of the Desert, where you tune the bottom string down 2 tones to C, and then the second bottom string down 1 tone, and then the top 4 strings are standard. And I was writing, I probably wrote like 15 or 20 like songs or beginnings of songs in that tuning, and I was like, okay, some of these are just a bit too, I mean, certain tunings make you guide you to certain chords a lot more, and I was like, okay, like some of these I can keep and some of these I have to discard because like they're just a little bit too similar in some ways. But yeah, it's been a challenge for sure. I guess like the first EP was over the course of 5 years of songwriting, much less intense in various points. Like there were like 6-month periods where I probably didn't even touch a guitar at certain points. But now it's like I want to keep putting out the same level of quality, but I have like way less like time. Like I'm not putting out the next project in 5 years.
Yeah.
Because everyone will have forgotten about us in 5 years if we don't put out anything. So, I mean, I'm trying to finish something by, like, we're mixing in September, so have everything recorded by then. And it is a bit of like pressure to try to get a nice crop of songs that, like, I hold the work to a really high standard, I think. So, and there is something like, I don't know, it's definitely going to be different, and there's something maybe special that won't be replicated exactly on the second thing that was on the first thing, especially maybe because of how the first thing came about, like in this sort of very drawn out and strange context. And yeah, I'm just trying to write a lot of songs to try to make sure that I can like cull from that and
yeah,
get the best ones, put those out.
Cool. I guess the last thing I'll ask is more on, more or less just bands that you'd like to mention in terms of bands that were influential. You also mentioned like looking for local bands that would kind of suit like the sound that you're going for. And you've got a list, it seems.
I'll just attend to my phone because it'll be easier to remember.
Yeah, yeah.
But off the cuff, like, I mean, my favorite local band is one that we've played with a couple of times called Twine.
Okay, yeah.
They're really awesome, like great songwriting. They're more like screamo, emo-ish, but
yeah,
also have a sort of like, they have like really heavy, but then like somewhat like more like beautiful sections. They're really good, and very raw. Really awesome. In terms of stuff that was, yeah, I mean, Slint and Duster were pretty big. Helvetia was also really influential, which is like one of the members of Duster's side project. Yeah, I mean, Elliot Smith, Sonic Youth, going through here, Sprain.
Okay, yeah.
I actually kind of like revisited
their
2018 album recently, and I was like, actually the album art's kind of like oddly similar, which I didn't clock. Like, we didn't do that consciously at all. But yeah, that 2018 thing is really awesome. Alex G, huge influence. I mean, I really think he's like the most gifted and like, I think he's kind of like the most exciting and biggest thing in like guitar music over the past 10 years or so, at least. Like, he just has such a prolific output, and the quality is so high in terms of the songwriting, and it's so varied. Like, DSU by Alex G, that album is like incredibly influential on me. And all of these influences, like, I mean, I think it's best when I try to combine them and start something new. Whenever I mean, it happens quite often that I write something and it's like, oh, like, this sounds, you know, too much like Alex G or Sonic Youth or something, like something specific. I never want it to sound too much like one thing. Yeah, so some other bands, Unwound, this sort of singer-songwriter, Lisa Germano.
Okay, yeah.
Really awesome. The Breeders, in a weird way, I guess. Let's see here. Yeah, if I had to do it off the top of my head, I definitely couldn't do it, but having any Spotify likes is helpful. And I'm definitely forgetting a lot of things. Oh yeah, the AF1 album.
Okay.
It's like, I'm not sure if you... This one?
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's another...
I heard like, AF1.
It's like E-I-A-F-U-A-W-N.
Everything is all f***ed up. And
yeah, whatnot. Yeah. Really, really amazing album.
Yeah.
The Microphones. Let's see here. I mean, that's a pretty nice little group of bands that influenced us, I guess. As I mean, everything else as well.
There's always going to be more, right?
Yes. I mean, it's also been really interesting now after putting out the project and hearing, like, you know, there's been a little bit of like blog coverage and whatever, and people are like, oh, this sounds like this and this and this, and a lot of the time it's bands I've never heard of, but often it's bands that I've like gotten into and I like. So it's cool to sort of reverse engineer it like that. And then also, weirdly enough, like the Spotify, like, people also like sort of thing, like you go to the bottom of an artist page and you like see like the other recommended.
Okay.
Like, there's a couple of bands I've found through that that I've gotten into. Like, there's this band called The Furniture Group from New York that are pretty cool. What else? Sta Dormida is a really cool band. I put one of their songs in the NTS mix that I did, but they're very elusive. Like, they have no social media.
Okay.
It's like STA space Dormida. They're like on Bandcamp and I think on Spotify and stuff, but really into them.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we'll cap it there.
Cool.
Thanks.
Handshake.
Yeah, cool. All right.
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari. This show is Past Tense, and the last song that played was Zurich is Stained from the band Pavement off of their album Slanted and Enchanted. And then before that was the end of the interview that I did with Marcus Stahl of the band Golden Star. And if you happen to miss me mentioning the name of the song that played before that, that was Crumbs Like Saucers by Helvetia off of their album Dramamania. Mentioning Zurich is Stained, I think in the interview Marcus mentioned something about the tuning that was used in that song. It was also a song that Golden Star played in the first time I ever saw them play live, which was probably a couple of months ago now. That was at Petit Ours, a very tiny venue here in Montreal, and that was a really cool experience. Not only was the band highly constrained on the stage by the lack of space, but you've got this room that's packed full of people that are really captivated by the music that's playing, and especially when it's something that's really kind of intense and sparse and brooding, like Golden Star's music is at times. It's a cool experience. It was honestly the highlight of that show for me. I would have gone even if it was just Golden Star playing, so that was pretty sick. And I know they've got another show coming up. They played a few weeks ago, but now they've got one coming up with a couple American bands. Can't remember exactly the venue, but it's at one of the Casa sites, probably Sot. That is going to be on July 15th, so that's another one to look out for. Golden Star playing in a slightly larger venue, and I know that they did their EP release there, or their EP release show there. Anyway, going back to the interview, if you want to hear the full thing, you can check it out on the CJLO website. It should either be up there the time that this plays, or sometime, hopefully very soon this week. And if you need to find a link for it and you can't see it on the main page, check out the page for my show, which is cjlo.com/shows/past-tense. Anyway, gonna close out the hour with two songs. Next one is gonna be Asleep by Golden Star, and then after that, I'm Losing, I'm Winning by Sta Dormida.
I feel like we are doing this cool thing where we accidentally had kind of like a train of thought with the song.